This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
To talk about this week and our takeaways, we bring in Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Good, Lori. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. If we're talking to Giants fans, we've got Giants fans, Jets fans, listeners here. The big question on everybody's mind is, how legit is Giants first round draft pick, rookie quarterback, Jackson Dart? He, you know, obviously we see the numbers, we saw the play. For those who missed it, 14 of 16, 137 yards, a touchdown pass. He ran another in, but overall, he looked like he belonged. I know it's preseason, and I've got Jets fans and Giants fans and others saying, hey, but Zach Wilson looked good in the preseason, and remember when this one and that one and everybody else. How legit is this?
I actually think that's really funny you bring that up, because like that's what I was thinking last night, is like, I don't, like, sure, there was buzz for Zach Wilson, and I think Daniel Jones was 5 for 5 for like 60 yards in his first preseason game, and like, it never felt like that. It never felt like 13 straight passes. It never felt like the 29-yard touchdown pass where he got popped in the mouth against Buffalo.
Yeah.
There's like, oh, okay, he passed that test. And there's like, oh, okay, this looks impressive. And yes, you're right, it's preseason, it's vanilla defense. But this is what I say about Abdul Carter. Like, the point of reference is, well, I never saw Kayvon Thibodeau do these things, and they were both top 5 picks. Yep. And now I'm seeing Jackson Dart do things I don't remember Daniel Jones doing, and I don't remember Zach Wilson doing. So, like, that's all I can compare him to, when he's ahead of the curve. That's what I put it that way. Like, he's doing things that I don't think, that I didn't think a rookie quarterback should do, based on my experience of covering other rookie quarterbacks. I was sitting in the press box last night, remembering being in Houston last year when Daniel Jones threw the spinning over the head pick six. Like, I was like, this guy's a sixth-year quarterback in the NFL, and he's making this mistake. Like, and you see Jackson Dart, just like, he's almost like playing point guard. And what I think's most impressive, Laurie, is it almost feels like, and this is give credit to Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka, it almost feels like two different playbooks when Russell Wilson's in there, more pro style, and when Jackson Dart's in there, more college Ole Miss style. And, you know, that's not easy to do. That's not easy for teammates to do. But they're making it look pretty fun. So, yeah, I'd say he's ahead of where I expected him to be, for sure. I haven't seen anything he can't do yet.
So there are people who would question and had questions about him coming into the league. Well, he looked good in college, but played in Lane Kiffin's system. And then those people, the questioners, the detractors, would say about Jackson Dart, well, if last night, they didn't do this in week one, but last night, for sure, they went to the hurry-up offense and played a style that looked a little, you know, to your point, it looked a lot like more of the system that maybe he was comfortable in and successful in at Ole Miss. Does it matter if in his rookie year, you know, whenever it is that he does get to play, if they design a system that he's comfortable in, or does he have to be able to play and succeed in that pro style offense right away year one?
No, like that's how you get fired. Like coaches say all the time, like, you know, I'm going to call the game. I'm going to build my team. I'm going to build my offense, the defense around my player strength. And then they always default back onto what they do, what got them to the job. And they try to jam square pegs into round holes. Like, no, if this is what's going to make Jackson Dart successful, then Mike Kafka and Brian Daboll need to build an offense to do what Jackson Dart is going to be successful in. Like, no, you can't force him to run the pro style. Yeah, of course. Like, eventually time has told us that, like, that style offense will not be as good as the pro style offense. But, like, you're trying to win the Super Bowl. Like, you're just trying to develop this guy to be better in year one. So, like, give him doses of what will build his confidence, what will make him successful. Find out what he can't do, what he can do, and then gradually you put that into other things that he learns how to do through practice. Like, it doesn't have to be the final product on by the time he's making his first start in the NFL, whether that's week four or week 10.
Yeah. The obvious example that jumps out to me, and for I'm just going to make it super clear for people who now want to jump onto Twitter and say, she just compared him to, I'm not doing that, but I'll give as an example, Lamar Jackson. And obviously these are two very different players, but I thought the Ravens did a fantastic job early in Lamar's career of catering an offense to his strengths at the time, and they built it around that. And yet then fast forward, as Lamar became more experienced and a more confident, you know, player in the NFL, well, now he does a terrific job as a pocket passer, but you didn't have to force that in his rookie year. And I think that's the point, that sometimes people have a standard of it. Well, we want to think about all the things he cannot do, as opposed to acknowledging the things that this player can do, which seem like you can have success in the NFL.
Yeah, I'll give you the other guy. He's like Tua Tagovailoa, and it's not with Brian Flores, but once Mike McDaniel got there, his first year with Mike McDaniel, it was like, oh, okay, we're going to let Tua play, you know, point guard offense, because that's what he did in college at Bama. There are parts of the Jalen Hurts offense that are college offense-based. Like, there are guys that do this, and you know, you're going to see more and more of it as guys play younger and younger, and especially as they stay in college longer because of NIL. So, like, you're going to see more of a mesh of that. You know, Arch Manning isn't going to play the same offense that Peyton and Eli played because he's a more athletic quarterback. So, like, it's just going to be different, and it's totally okay to build an offense around your quarterback strengths. It's what you should do. And credit to the Giants players if they can learn two different playbooks.
All right,
and Lori, your listeners might not recognize me right now. Listen to me. I said optimistic out of the Giants.
I know. It is true that typically you have been quite pessimistic, but certainly Brian Daboll's first year, I think the Giants shocked all of us. Granted, the schedule was easy, but they overachieved. They made the playoffs, you know, good for them that year. But by and large, they have been terrible for a lot of years now. And for the first time in a long time, the talent on the roster feels better. And certainly Jackson Dart, Abdul Carter being two building blocks that I think Giants fans can hope on. All right, so give us a sense of, there's the play on the field, and we'll get to that and some of the other players in the game that we saw. But what else did you see this week in practice from both the Giants and the Jets?
Abdul Carter was still a beast in practice. Brian Burns was probably the best player on the field for either team. In practice, I think that's really important because everybody's talked about Carter and everybody's talked about Thibodeau having to come like off the bench, and Bird's almost like the forgotten guy. And it's like, well, you know, he's the $145 million contract. He's the highest paid player on the Giants. He was good last year. He didn't live up to that contract. If he takes the step to Pro Bowl player, to like Dexter Lawrence caliber level, then watch out for that pass rush. The flip side of that is the Jets offensive line, I thought, looked very pedestrian. And that goes for last night, too. Armand Membu had trouble with Kayvon Thibodeau. He got shoved down by Elijah Chapman on a run play. The Jets are going to only go as far as their running game and offensive line take them. And I was not impressed this week with the offensive line. Justin Fields obviously was erratic in practice. He was 1 for 5 in the game. Here's what I came away. Lori, every year these two teams meet. Usually they do a practice. They always play a preseason game. And for the last 3 or 4 years, I've walked away and I've said, the Jets are going to cut guys who would be the like 45th or 50th guy on the Giants 53-man roster. That's how much better the Jets roster is. That's how much more depth they have. And it's now the total opposite. Like, the Giants are going to cut guys who would be easily on the Jets 53-man roster. The Jets roster has stars. It's very top-heavy. It's not just at the bottom am I worried about it. I think the middle might be very light on the Jets roster. And I think the Giants are going to cut guys who would make that roster easy.
Yeah, even, I mean, wide receiver 2 for the Jets is an example. I think the Giants are, you know, with Darius Slayton, you at least have somebody who's a credible wide receiver 2, although I would say as the Giants look ahead to next year, if they ever got that, you know, real, very, you know, top-notch number 2 wide receiver behind Neighbors and slot everybody else in just a step back, suddenly that's a very strong room. But let's, you know, looking at, we'll get to some more Giants stories in a second, but since you brought it up with the Jets and Justin Fields, how concerned should Jets fans be about this passing offense?
The only reason not to be concerned is if you say things like, oh, it's the preseason, and like, it doesn't, they're just ironing out the kinks, and they don't show everything that's in the playbook. And like, I'm tired of doing that, right? I'm tired of doing that with Daniel Jones and expecting like the preseason to be like, oh, that doesn't really matter. That's not any indicative of the regular season. No, in my experience, it usually is. Like, maybe not the preseason games, but certainly the practices. So like, the fact that he's been erratic and inaccurate in practice tells me he, and the fact that he's done it for 4 years in the NFL, like, it tells me he's probably the same quarterback that I saw with the Bears and the Steelers, which is like, he's fine, but like, he needs to be able to run to be even mildly effective. And I can't trust him to drive me down the field with big plays in the passing game. So I have to play from ahead and not trying to catch up so that I can use my running game to run 35 times a game and capitalize on his legs. So to answer your question, on a scale of 1 to 10, how worried would I be about Justin Fields? Not worried about him as a runner, but as a passer, let's call it an 8.
Yeah, I mean, isn't the defense against the Jets put 8 in the box to stop the run and double-team Garrett Wilson?
I don't know, because then you get into like, well, you have to spy the quarterback, and if you put 8 in the box, then you get RPOs. Like, there are some, like, yes, that's the defense to stop, like, the Saquon Barkley Giants, because they were going to hand it off most of the time. But, like, when you have a running quarterback, then he can get around the edge in an RPO or a bootleg or whatnot. But, yes, the idea is whether it's 8 in the box, 7 in the box, run blitzes, whatever it is, the idea is certainly against the Jets to have a man dedicated to Fields and play the run and double-team Garrett Wilson and really don't have to worry about anything else.
How do you see the breakdown between these running backs with Breece Hall, Braylon Allen? you know, obviously Breece Hall has been the number one back for the Jets, but it does, with an Aaron Glenn, can you see more of the balance of touches shifting to Braylon Allen?
I think it'll be shifting towards 50-50. I don't know if I would say I see it shifting towards Braylon Allen, but I would say I see it shifting towards 50-50, maybe 60-40 Breece, at least early in the season. There, Braylon Allen last year was used kind of in short yardage, kind of on a goal line, like a typical bigger back. He'll be used more like, for Giants fans, like remember when it was Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw, mm-hmm. and it wasn't just like, oh, the big guy runs on the goal line. No, they like both were full-time running backs. Like, that's kind of how I see it. Like, they'll spell each other, but they won't have defined roles, except I do think when it's time to throw to the running back, which is going to be quite a bit, actually, I think Justin Fields uses his running backs on screens. That's a big part of his passing attack. That's why I would say I still think it slants towards Breece. I think Breece will be the pass-catching running back. Like, it would not surprise me, Lori, if at the end of the season we said who's second on the Jets in catches, Breece Hall, who's second or third maybe on the Jets in receiving yards, Breece Hall.
All right. And then in terms of some of the you know, younger players on the Jets, you know, not throwing to their running backs and not Garrett Wilson. Any, you know, between joint practices and the game, impressions of Arian Smith and Mason Taylor?
So, Mason Taylor had an incredible diving catch. The word on him is that he's a pretty good blocker. So I think you need to be that to be an every down tight end. So he had an incredible catch of one of the joint practices Tuesday, I think. And then obviously his first play in his first preseason game was a pass to him. So they're obviously going to design some stuff to him to get him involved. Arian Smith's speed popped, but nothing really else popped. I'll tell you, the guy who popped for me is Brandon Smith. Like, he was on the Jets practice squad all last year. He's kind of bounced around in the NFL. He has been making plays pretty much all the time. And he's like the Jets version of Montrell Washington, mm-hmm. who's the Giants guy who's been making plays also. Is he going to make the team? I don't know. I think he'll be right on the bubble. But he's been making plays all camp. He's a big body. He played 33 snaps in the game last night. He had 5 catches for 48 yards. And he played at Iowa. And why does that matter? Because at Iowa, running receivers do nothing but run block. And what are the Jets receivers going to have to do? They're going to have to run block. So he's a big body guy who I think has a chance to make the team as much for his run blocking as his contested catchability.
Talking to Ryan Dunleavy about Jets and Giants. So that was some of the receivers who may make the team who are on the bubble for the Jets. For the Giants, how do you know there suddenly there's depth at tight end? Greg Dulcich had a touchdown catch, a really nice play last night. And there, you know, you mentioned Washington, there's Bo Collins, there's little Jordan Humphrey. How do you see some of these players now fighting for some of those last spots on the roster for the Giants?
You're talking specifically at receiver?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bo Collins has been getting steady first-team reps, and then he made the big play last night. I don't think you can sleep on that. I think you have to pencil him into a 53-man projection. Otherwise, why are you wasting anybody's time with first-team reps? Little Jordan Humphrey's probably on the outside. Really, what all this comes down to, Lori, is what the Giants do with Jalin Hyatt. Are they going to keep him on the team as the fourth receiver, which he's not going to be happy about? That's not what they had designed for him. Or do they just, you know, call it a loss? Maybe try to trade him. I don't know what you get at this point. Maybe it's, you know, a fifth for a seventh or something like that, a pick swap. You just try to trade him. move on from the Jalen Hyatt era and trust that you have some receivers in camp who have done some really nice things, like Bo Collins, like Montrell Washington, who's made a lot of plays. You have three guys you trust who are going to get 90% of the targets anyway, because you mentioned Slayton, but you didn't mention Wandale Robinson, who's really their wide receiver too, because he had 140 targets last year. So they have those three guys who play, you know, almost all the snaps. 4 and 5 would be Montrell Washington, Bo Collins. You could have a guy like Dalen Cambry, who made the diving catch from Jameis Winston. He's really just a special teamer, but like his position by default is receiver, and he made a catch. So like that would be your sixth guy. Gunnar Olszewski and Amir Marsek, one of those guys could make the team as a returner, and then they're also insurance at receiver.
And then finally, what about Turbo Miller? Is he a lock at this point?
On the team.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's a lock because I've seen him do things that make me scratch my head, but has to be on the team because you will not be able to.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
To squeeze him onto your practice squad. If you cut Turbo Miller, somebody will claim him. Hey, it might be the Jets who claim him. So, no, I think Turbo Miller is definitely on the team. Definitely on a team, I should say, come whatever it is, August 27th after cut day, the Giants should keep him. They should find a way to keep him because he adds an element to the backfield that Cam Scadabo and Tyrone Tracy even don't. So they should find a way for him, and he's a special teams returner, and he's a special teams coverage guy. There's always room on a 53-man roster for someone that versatile.
And, you know, turning briefly to the defense, there's obviously one big position battle there for number two cornerback, and Cordell Flott had his opportunity there. What did you see this week? You know, we saw the pass breakup on Garrett Wilson, but how about in joint practices? How did Flott look? What's the latest on that position battle with him and Tay Banks?
You know, it looked almost like it was written off because Flott missed a week of practice and Banks took every rep. And so it looked like it was, okay, Banks is going to win this by default. Now it's the opposite, right? Now Banks is the one sidelined by injury and now Flott's getting every rep. And look, I think Flott's competitive, and he's versatile, which almost works against him because, like, he's your perfect backup because he could be the number two outside corner, the, like, top backup outside corner and the top backup slot corner. So it almost works against him, his versatility. But he's competitive. The play on Garrett Wilson, the pass breakup, you see that in practice. He has tight coverage. Cordell Flott's problem has been staying on the field throughout his career. So if he can stay on the field, he might actually be the better player, but they have more invested in Banks. And again, Flott makes the more ideal backup than Banks does.
I forgot. I did want to also ask you impressions of Evan Neal at right guard. And is there a chance he wins the starting spot there or just going to be a backup?
It's funny. I don't think I've ever seen more polarizing reports from people watching the same practices. Like, some people will tell you he's having great practices. Some people will tell you he's not adjusting well. And so it really depends whose eyes you're looking at. Through mine, he still looks like he's on the ground too much. He got beat pretty bad on a play where Jackson Dart got hit. Like, to me, I don't think he's an NFL quality starting guard right now. So is there a chance he wins the job? I would say no. Early in the season, I would say the Giants recognize they need to get off to a fast start. They recognize they need to protect Russell Wilson, who has a tendency to hold the ball too long. So I would say they'll go with the comfort of Greg Van Roten. But Daboll has a history of quick pulls after week one or week two. I guess if Van Roten's struggling, they could go to Neal. That makes maybe more sense. But I don't think he'll win the week one job. But there are people who want you to believe he's doing really well at guard. I don't see it, but there are people who say it.
All right. The rookie, the young lineman that I think has been a lot of fun to watch that we'll all have our eye on is Marcus Bowe, who's just been... You know, I think you used the word on social media. I think somebody did bullying that at this point. But he's just, you know, it's fun to watch him pancake guys and have an attitude, which has been great. Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post, appreciate the time and thanks so much for hopping on.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.